Thank you, worship team. Thank you to all of you who flowered the cross in honor of our risen Lord. Thank you, all of you who are here worshiping with us this morning. I see some of you special people whose faces are new to me, and I welcome you as well. Easter, as you are well aware, if you're here this morning, is much more than bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and flowers and chocolate and lilies. Easter is the celebration of Jesus Christ rising from the dead, the empty tomb, and hope for us beyond the grave. But what if he didn't rise? Have you ever wondered that? What if, like Muhammad or Buddha, he was still dead in the grave? What if, like every other single religious leader, every last one of them, he was still in the grave? Now, many have undertaken this question from the standpoint of, did Jesus of Nazareth really rise from the dead? In other words, was it a hoax? I mean, seriously, when was the last time you saw a dead man come out of a grave, right? So there are excellent resources out there, such as Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter. But I would like to approach the question slightly differently. What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? In other words, what would it mean that he didn't rise from the dead? What would be different? What are the implications if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And the Bible helps us with this inquiry because it asks and answers this very question. What if Christ had not been raised? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we begin by asking for your help. I need your help. We ask you to speak to us through your word. We read therein these beautiful words, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And that is precisely what we ask of you this morning, that you would open our minds to understand the scriptures. We pray this in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. You may have already been thinking that was where I was going. I see a few nods. 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter. It's to the church, the Christ followers in Corinth, the city of Corinth. And that's why we call it the Corinthians. And this was the first letter that we have to that church. And let's go to 15, nearing the end of the letter, he writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel." Gospel means good news. "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." And here's the gospel. "For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures," key words, that means all of the prophecies that had been handed down through the years that prophesied that Christ would rise. "I preach to you that that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas." Who's Cephas? Lost my place. "That he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Cephas is Peter. And what's the gospel? The gospel is this, that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, all at the same time. Most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep in death. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as one untimely born. He says, I was born too late. Here's the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried, he was raised, and he appeared. This is not some ethereal resurrection. He had a real body. He invited them to touch it. Put your fingers in the holes in my hands. Put your hand to my side and see that it is really me. They still couldn't believe that it was him. So he said, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him some broiled fish and he ate that. Ghosts don't eat fish, right? That helped him. But they were still so amazed. These guys were the hardest ones to convince that he had been raised again. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, to the Christians there, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And here's the key point. And if Christ has not been raised, and then he proceeds to say a number of things that are true if Christ has not been raised. And so that's how I want to approach our subject this morning. What if Christ had not been raised? What would be different? What are the implications? Let's work on this together. And if Christ has not been raised, verse 14, our preaching is useless. Our preaching is a sham. We said he died, we said he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, and if he didn't, that means it's a hoax. We're lying. We'll get to that in a minute. What else? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain. Sorry to tell you, you've been duped, scammed. You learned the Bible, you prayed, you tried to live as Christ told you to, you served others, you turned the other cheek, you chose to love when it was hard, you chose to forgive rather than get even, you gave your money, your time, but guess what? It was all in vain. If Christ did rise from the dead, it was all a waste, all for naught. That's what. Our preaching is useless. Your faith is vain. What else? We are false witnesses. We're liars. We are even found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Guess what? He's not the Savior. He's not the Son of God. The angels at his birth lied. There is no good news of great joy for all the people. There is only bad news. Jesus was just another failure. And you have no hope of anything through him. He said he would rise again. So if he didn't, he's a liar. Your faith is futile. He was not a good man. And the same with Peter and Paul and James and John, all the Bible writers, they were not good people. They were people of horrifically failed integrity to tell us that Jesus rose from the dead if he did not. And if you believe that, and it wasn't true, your faith is futile. Futile. Empty, worthless, if Jesus did not rise. Furthermore, you are still in your sins. Christ hasn't purchased your redemption. His sacrifice was not accepted, the sacrifice he made on your behalf. If Christ hasn't been raised, then he was not a sufficient sacrifice. His saving work was not accomplished, and here's where the rubber meets. You must still pay for your sins. If Christ didn't rise, then sin won. Death won. If there's no resurrection, there's no penalty paid, no reconciliation between you and holy God, there's no forgiveness, there's no eternal life. Romans 4:25 says he was raised for our justification. If he didn't rise, no justification. The words, "You shall die in your sin," then apply to every single person. If God raised him, then his sacrifice satisfied God. And by his sacrifice, we can be justified, forgiven. But if he was not raised, he didn't conquer sin, he didn't conquer death, he didn't conquer hell, there is no good news, the gospel, to preach. Sorry, you can't be forgiven. You are still in your sins. Next, if Christ has not been raised, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Those people who gave their lives to Christ, who lived for him, and did what was right, pastors and teachers and missionaries, that person who shared God's love with you, all of them who have fallen asleep following Christ have perished. What does perish mean? They're lost. They have no forgiveness. They're under the condemnation of their sins for all of eternity. If Christ did not rise, they are in hell now, paying for their sins for all of eternity. Because Christ didn't pay for their sins, if he didn't rise, they are still in their sins. They have fallen asleep and perished. You see, the Bible tells us Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. He has power to rise from the dead. He has power to forgive sins, power to raise forgiven sinners from the dead, but not if he didn't rise. You see how integral this is? What else if Christ has not been raised? If we have hoped in Christ, in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You said no to your impulses. You turned the other cheek. You chose to do the right thing. You disciplined yourself. You obeyed your parents. You cared about others more than yourself. Guess what? You've been a complete and utter fool. You took the hard road. You should have lived it up. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What does our culture say? You only live once. You were living with a view toward God and eternity in heaven, but there is no heaven for you if Christ did not die, because there is raised, because there is no Savior. If Christ died and didn't rise, then sin killed him, like it has killed every other person, and like it will kill you and me. Death held him in its triumph, and it will triumph over you too. Maybe you can add a few years with good medicine, but the bell will toll for you soon enough. And if we have hoped in Christ for this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied if Christ did not rise. Now I'm up to verse 20, and the very next word is a glorious word. It's the word but. Aren't you glad for the words, the buts in Scripture? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You are dead in your forgivenesses and sins, in your trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, others intended it for evil against us, but God intended it for good. Here's the but here. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Death was not victorious over him. Death was conquered. along with everything that accompanies death. What accompanies death? Sickness, disease, death, dying, disfigurement, disability, deformity. Death has, by Christ's resurrection, death has been disarmed, defanged, declawed, destroyed. And I'd like to find some more of those D words. That's what Christ's resurrection did. And get this, as Jesse read to us a moment ago, he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first of a much larger harvest to come. He's the first of many to be resurrected. Lord willing, you have made that choice and you are one of those to be resurrected. He's the leader, leading us out of bondage. Bondage to death, consequences of our sin. Is he your leader? What does it say? As in Adam all die, our entire race has fallen into sin, following our head, Adam, and we are all in rebellion against holy God, and each of us has death stamped into our DNA. We will die, it's just a matter of time. As in Adam all die. But, the next words are beautiful, another but. In Christ shall all be made alive. He died and rose again to reverse the curse, to change the outcome for us, to resurrect us from death along with him. So, now let's go back through our list again, the list of things that were true if Christ did not die, and say it this way: since Christ has been raised, our preaching is not useless. It's not a sham, it's not a hoax. It is good news, after all, the best news ever. You, and you, and you, and I can be saved. Since Christ has been raised, your faith is not in vain. You haven't been scammed or duped. Christ said he would rise again, and he did. And what he said is true, and what the Bible teaches about that is true. And giving your life to Jesus Christ is the best possible thing you will ever do. Everything you've given your life to and lived by as following Christ is sound. You are safe. You're not a fool. Since Christ has been raised, we apostles are not false witnesses. Speaking for the Apostle Paul, we are not false witnesses. We said he died, was buried, and rose from the dead. We've been telling the truth. And those words were validated by his resurrection. Since Christ has been raised, your faith is not futile. Christ is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He did not fail. Everything you've been counting on through Jesus Christ is solid, rock solid. You can take that to, I was going to say the bank, but the bank has nothing to do with this. You can take this to the bank of our debt before holy God. Everything about Jesus Christ is solid, rock solid. Since Christ has been raised, you are not still in your sins. Jesus Christ purchased your redemption. What was the cost? We've been talking about that all day. His body, his blood on the tree. But that's what he did. He purchased our redemption. His saving work was accomplished. His sacrifice was accepted. Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for your sins. And God declared by raising him from the dead that that sacrifice was sufficient. Absolutely, 100% sufficient. You no longer have to pay for your sins. Sin did not win. The penalty for your sin was paid by Jesus. He's your Savior. You're forgiven. You're reconciled to God. You have eternal life if you're a follower of Jesus. Next, those who've fallen asleep in Christ have not perished. My mother's been gone from us for 23 years. I don't have to wonder if she is in torment for her sins. She was forgiven. Rescued, redeemed, reconciled to God. Christ paid for her sins. Is he paid for yours? Those people are not lost. They're not paying for their sins. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power to forgive their sins and raise forgiven sinners from the dead. Finally, we are not to be pitied, but rather envied. Choosing Christ in this life will absolutely be the best choice anyone could have ever made. You will never regret saying no to the passing pleasures of sin and yes to Jesus and an eternity with Him. Without death, without dying, without tears, without sadness, only joy and peace and fulfillment and contentment. That's what He won for you. Are you most to be envied? Absolutely. The bell will toll for you soon enough, but it does not have the final word. Jesus has the final word. And He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in Me, he will live even if he dies. That bell can just keep on ringing, can't it? He had the final word. And while the world calls us fools to live for the next life rather than this life, someone once said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you have hoped in Christ in this life, you are of all people most to be envied. So here's the gospel, the good news, the best news ever. Jesus said this, look, on account of your sin, you're headed for death, for judgment, and eternal punishment. Let those words sink in. Jesus said that to every one of us. But then He said, I'll take your sin on Me, and I'll pay that consequence. I'll give you My righteousness. I'll take your penalty. I'll give you My life. How do we know that offer is good? How do we know that's a valid offer? Well, He went to the cross. He died. He was buried. And He was raised. He appeared. And God made His sacrifice validated to all of us by resurrecting Him from the grave. He accepted His sacrifice by raising Him from the dead. His offer is still good. I don't know where you are today. Here's the offer. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Really? Can it be that simple? Well, it is simple in one way, but it is absolutely the hardest thing you will ever do. Because what are you saying when you say Jesus is Lord? Well, He's the boss. He's the king. He calls the shots. I'm on His plan. I'm on His turf. But if you confess Jesus as Lord of your life, Lord, You be the Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what's so significant about that? Well, that's in a nutshell what we've been saying, that God raised Him from the dead as a stamp of approval of His death, burial, and resurrection, validating His sacrifice for your sins and mine. If you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, His payment applied to your life, He's Lord, you will be saved. Saved. You won't have to wonder, when I die, will I perish? Will I be lost? Will I face eternal consequences, destruction, judgment? You'll be saved. I pray that you will give serious thought to this statement that Christ has been raised, and make sure that His resurrection is proof positive that He paid for your sins, freed you from the penalty of those. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank You for going all the way to the cross, excruciating as it was, Father, we thank you for raising your son Jesus as a permanent testament that his sacrifice paid for every last one of our sins if we have made him Lord, if we believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead. If there's anyone here who has not yet made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as Lord, believing that Jesus has paid for their sins, I pray that they will not let this resurrection day pass without making that choice to follow you. And for the others in the midst who have made that choice, I pray that you will deepen our love for the Lord Jesus, our commitment to him, our obedience to your glory and your fame, and to the spread of the good news that we have been talking about. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.